Welcome to Beat the Prosecution, presented by Virginia criminal defense lawyer John Katz, where we are here to regularly present to you information and ideas for beating your prosecution as best as possible. Now your host, John Katz.
Hello, everybody. This is John Katz. I'm a criminal defense lawyer and DWI defense lawyer in Fairfax, Virginia. You can reach us at 703-383-1100, and we're at beattheprosecution.com. As always, to date, we're here with our podcast master, Abigail Swigart. Hello, Abigail.
Hello, everyone listening.
What are we talking about today?
Assault and battery.
And why is that?
Well, it comes up often, and sometimes people can be charged with alleged assault and battery against police officers or civilians.
You know, Abigail, one of the things that I was happy about growing up, well, it was bitter and sweet, was having had fist fight experience. My younger brother is about 4 to 5 inches taller than I. I'm 5'8", and he's about 6'1 or 6'2". And I don't think anyone ever picked a fight on him because he was bigger, but I wasn't big enough. So I have fought with my mouth, but unfortunately, though, because of my smart mouth, that sometimes had people wanting to punch me when I was growing up. So I had to learn to fight with my fists as well, but I also learned to fight with my fists with my older brother and people at summer camp and school. So that was a good thing. It made me more confident than I did martial arts. But if I did the same thing with getting into fist fights now as an adult, which it can also happen as a juvenile, I can get charged with a crime. Did you know that, Abby?
Yes.
Did you know that about me with my fighting experience?
About the fighting experience, no. I only see you in court throwing punches, but not. I didn't know about your prior experience.
Well, also, it was interesting. When I did my first martial art lessons, that was Korean karate, taekwondo, in college, and the teacher was so great. He was Master Lee, and he said to me one day, I said, well, Master Lee, I've gone from a white belt to a yellow belt. And these belt colors are apparently a Western idea, not an Eastern idea. When am I going to learn the next forms, you know, that match the yellow belt? And he'd say, be patient. Do the practice. He wasn't being lazy. The fact of the matter is that, you know, there's a lot of impatience among Westerners versus Easterners for doing martial arts, even with the Chinese martial art I do of Tai Chi. I learned all of the initial 17 postures within about 3 weeks, whereas if I was a student of the man who brought my form of Tai Chi over to the United States from Taiwan, I probably would have had to wait at least 6 months or a year for that. Okay, well, now back to assault then. Yes, I was also asking you about your knowledge about my experience with assault cases. We get a lot of assault clients, don't we?
Yeah, ranging from, you know, maybe alleged assault on a family member or assault on a law enforcement officer. See it all.
Right. So assault means an offensive, unlawful, non-consensual touching of another person unless we have a legal defense to it. And be careful, because just because you think you have a legal defense doesn't mean someone else does. So what is a reason why a person might not run away from a fight, like a bar fight?
Maybe they don't have anywhere to run to, or like a safe area to get to, or it's an instinct, you know, the fight or flight instinct, or they just don't have the opportunity. There's multiple people surrounding them and they just can't get away.
How about ego as well?
Or ego, hubris, yes.
How about want to scare the crap out of the other person to not bother you anymore?
That's true. Or maybe you have someone with you that you're protecting as well and they can't.
Right.
You know,
I think ego and wanting to do a preemptive fear factor about the person not wanting to bother you anymore are two big reasons why a person might not run away from a fight. But those two things are not defenses under the law. So the defenses are: it didn't happen. Some other dude did it, also known as Sadi, or some other dudette did it. I don't know. What's the politically correct word for dude for a woman? I don't know. But moving along, misidentification. mistaken impression. No, no one touched you. It was the wind. Self-defense, which has to be proportionate to the assault from the other person, or defending yourself physically against someone who pulls out a gun on you and you kick him in the groin, which works more with guys than women, I guess. And then you have defense of others. And the other one is consent. In the world of BDSM, bondage, domination, sadomasochism, for whatever reason, a lot of people are out there who enjoy that kind of activity. They have a code word, not no. So the idea is, don't stop whipping the person when they say no, but stop whipping the person when they say bagels. You know, they may not want to eat bagels, though, because they may not get the bagel. Now, assault can run to the higher levels. We can have aggravated assault, such as shooting a person, such as knifing a person, such as even punching the person in the nose and permanently maiming them, which then moves from a misdemeanor carrying up to a year in Virginia to a felony, which can carry many years in jail in Virginia. And then, of course, what's the ultimate form of assault?
Would that be murder?
Oh, yes, because you can't have a murder without an assault. I mean, even if a person poisons the person to murder them, I think that's an assault. So now let's talk a little bit about, well, we've been going for about how many minutes? Over 5 minutes, so let's tell everybody how they can reach us.
You can visit our website at catsjustice.com, that's K-A-T-Z. You can give our office a call at 703-383-1100. You can also give us a text at 571-406-7268.
Now, let's talk about starting a forest fire and things you can do to help reduce your risks when you're charged with assault. So often, my assault clients got charged with assault, not because someone else called the cops, but they called the cops. And so here's what happens. Person A calls the cops, tells the cops, Joe just hit me. I don't want to charge him with any crime, but just keep Joe away from me. And then Joe says to the cops, I'm not the one who assaulted Jim. Jim assaulted me. This is akin to running to the court magistrate to be the first one to complain. So let's say if there's a fist fight, Joe causes the fist fight. Once the fist fight's done, the fist fight between Joe and Jim might find Jim and Joe running to the court magistrate to claim the other person assaulted them, with the idea that maybe the prosecutor believes the person who ran over to the magistrate sooner. Did you know that, Abby, that in Virginia, a person can get a misdemeanor charge against someone else without the cop even being involved? Just go to the court magistrate and say, Jim hit me.
That's wild.
Terrible.
It's all hearsay and she said, he said.
And a reason for that is that police are not permitted in general to arrest someone for many types of crimes if they didn't witness it themselves. Now, I also want to address, so let's say Jim calls the cops on Joe and Joe really did assault Jim. And Joe is prosecuted, and then Jim decides, I don't want, I'm mixing up the Joes and the Jims. Okay, we'll fix it. Jim is the assailant, Joe is the victim, but now Joe doesn't want Jim, after all, to be prosecuted. And guess what happens when Joe calls up the prosecutor's office and says, I want the case dismissed?
They can keep going.
It's like a forest fire. You make a forest fire, and you can't turn off that forest fire. So the ideal way to do it here then, and it gets a little more expensive than otherwise, is we have Jim hire a lawyer, Joe hires his own lawyer, and if Joe has no incentive to hire a lawyer, so Jim is permitted to pay for Joe's lawyer just as long as Joe gets to choose the lawyer he wants. And here's what happens. Joe's lawyer tells the prosecutor that Joe wants the case dismissed. And if the prosecutor says, tough poopy, we're still going forward, then Joe's lawyer can say to the prosecutor, if you put my client on the witness stand, if you put Joe on the witness stand, he's going to assert his Fifth Amendment right to remain silent under the United States Constitution. And when the prosecutor says, why would a victim of the crime do that? What kind of lie would the victim of the crime have committed unless Joe had told a lie to the police that Jim assaulted him? Well, let's say that Joe actually was assaulted by Jim. Joe calls the cops. Joe's all excited, and Joe might make a misstatement. It reminds me of the time that I was driving back from Las Cruces, New Mexico, over to Albuquerque. Did I tell you this one?
I don't think I've heard this one.
Okay, good. I'm happy when I don't repeat stories to my staff. I had a job interview with the federal public defender in Las Cruces, New Mexico, which would have been a cool job except for the snitch work that's always involved with federal public defender work. But it wasn't exactly in the best part of New Mexico. I like Albuquerque better. And I was about 60 miles from Las Cruces, away from there going towards Albuquerque, and there was a Border Patrol checkpoint. Did you know, Abby? Well, you've lived in Arizona, so you may know this. You can have Border Patrol checkpoints 60 or even 100 miles inland from the nearest border with another country.
Yeah, I've seen a few.
And so there's a car in front of me, and I'm tired. It's around 11 o'clock at night now. My friend in Albuquerque is going to let me stay in his home overnight. I'm still 2 hours from Albuquerque. And the Border Patrol agent said to me, is this your own car or is it rented? And I said, I own it. I realized, my gosh, I'm a criminal defense lawyer. And I told something that wasn't accurate. And I quickly changed to, no, it's a rental. Because I was just so irritated being with the guy here. I just want to keep going. And I was irritated at the Supreme Court saying you can have these kind of checkpoints. Now, if I, as a seasoned criminal defense lawyer, could have made that misstatement, yes, Joe could have made misstatements to the cop and not even have known it. So what happens is just because Joe gets up on the witness stand and says, I'm asserting my Fifth Amendment right to remain silent for every question you ask me about what happened with Jim, the judge gets to decide after each question whether Joe doesn't have to answer the question. That's based, at least in Virginia, on whether answering the question could tend to incriminate Joe, at least if Joe had told something different to the cops. Now, let's say that, Abby, that Jim admitted to the cops that he assaulted Joe. And let's say Joe doesn't testify. Is Jim out of the woods?
Not yet.
Because?
Because they can use his testimony that he told the cops.
Exactly. When we were learning haiku, Japanese poetry, in second grade, I thought it was boring. Five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables. Five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables. That's how boring I was. That was my chant to myself. Just this boring, monotone thing. And of course, some haiku can be shorter. But the great thing about haiku, when I talk to my clients about it, don't speak to the cops more than in a haiku. And even that's too much. My favorite reference to what to do with cops and talk to them is to have proverbial crazy glue on your lips. Because if you crazy glue your, do you know how to get your lips apart if you put crazy glue on there short of using a razor blade?
Probably ice, I think.
No, it won't taste good. Acetone,
ooh.
Nail polish remover.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, well, speaking of the ice, I don't know the answer to this, so here's a little joke here. If a person puts their tongue on a freezing metal pole outside, and it's 10 degrees out, how do they get their tongue unstuck?
They got to warm it up, I think.
I suppose you got to put some warm water on there. Okay, well, how much of a tangent I've gone on here? Silence, silence, silence. This is a theme that we talk about all the time on the show. You have the right to remain silent with police. You have the right to insist on not talking to them without a lawyer. You have the right to refuse searches. You do that passively by saying, I do not agree. And make sure it's clear. Don't let the cops say, oh, he says he said, I don't agree. I heard him say, I agree. So be as clear to the cops as possible when you assert your rights. Okay. Well, let's say, Abigail, that Joe decides that he wants Jim prosecuted. And let's say that Jim actually did assault Joe. What does Jim do?
Well, he needs to first find a good lawyer that has experience with, you know, assault and battery cases. And then, because they need to start working on their defense of what transpired between Jim and Joe. Was it the self-defense or what angle it was?
That's right. And do you know how much assault defense experience I have?
a lot, many years.
I have defended hundreds and hundreds of assault defendants successfully. I've probably taken over 50 or 80 assault cases to trial. And it can be nerve-wracking on the defendant, not knowing if they're going to win or not and what their sentence might be. And if someone has a security clearance, they do not want an assault conviction. And it's not just security clearance. It goes to reputation, what might happen with your prospects academically, what might happen with your prospects with jobs. So let's say Jim was our client. I would say to Jim, Jim, you got to show that the Jim on the day of the alleged assault is not the same Jim on the day of court. And so what would I tell Jim about that?
Any self-improvements to do to show that the court that he's been doing things, counseling, things like that?
Right. So I would commonly recommend to an assault defendant client to do the following, at least if they're not going to be able to convincingly and honestly say on the witness stand that they didn't do it. First is to do an anger management class, and I have a couple of good ones to refer to my clients, including at least one that's online. The second one is to do a massive amount of volunteer community service. Voluntary community service, I would prefer 40 to 50 hours. Get that documented on our website, catsjustice.com/community. You'll see ideas galore that can apply nationwide. catsjustice.com/community. We haven't figured out yet with our webmaster how to use beattheprosecution.com/community, but we'll deal with that eventually. I also say if you're willing to pay a few hundred bucks, at least if you've got a local case, well, actually, this psychologist I work with, he'll meet by Zoom, so he can do this nationwide. I like to have my clients get a psychological evaluation and prognosis to say the extent to which they are not likely to commit the crime that they're accused of now in the future, and that applies often to even plenty of cases that are not just assault. And I also say that if they can afford it, and often this is part of a person's health insurance anyway, get 2 to 4 psychological counseling sessions dealing with alternatives to acting out physically in anger. Now, Abigail, what else do you think that the audience might want to know about assault defense?
Well, I always hear about cases if the individual who's alleged this assailant, if they had experience in fighting, like let's say they were a boxer or professional, would that come into play?
Well, that could go to consent. I mean, if you have, I remember a Japanese friend who does Kyokushin karate telling me that when people fight in Kyokushin karate, it's easy to break someone's nose, break their bones. So this goes to the consent aspect. Now, of course, if the person knows martial arts and they're beating up on someone, for one thing, most martial arts I know of, at least the Eastern ones, are supposed to be about self-defense, so not using it offensively and only using it defensively. Is that responsive, or was there not an aspect of it that I didn't answer?
I think maybe could it aggravate?
Aggravation. It's like if you have an assault case by a 500-pound sumo wrestler, and his alleged victim is a 3-year-old little child, of course. So as much as I don't like some of these boring and annoying sayings from the high school principals, one thing that they did say, and I guess the teachers would say to my son at least, is, when I was in school, it was like, keep your hands and feet to yourself. I forget what they say now, but it is true. You'll thank yourself in the morning. If you really think that Joe or Jim deserve a whacking, and of course there's different types of whacking, right? The whacking with your fists and the whacking killing them. Give it at least 24 hours, okay? I cannot, as a lawyer, tell you that it's okay to assault someone unlawfully, but what I can say is, if you give it at least 24 hours before slugging someone in the face, you're more likely not to do it at all. Abigail, thank you so much again. This is our 6th show.
Yes, number 6.
Everybody, if there are any topics you would like us to cover, let us know. If there's any questions you have, let us know. Abigail, where can our listeners reach us?
catsjustice.com, or give our office a call at 703-383-1100. Or our texting number is 571-406-7268.
And what is our email address?
info@beattheprosecution.com.
And the only time I like to say catsjustice.com is for any URLs that aren't Beat the Prosecution. So my favorite URL for us is beattheprosecution.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode on Beat the Prosecution. This is a regular podcast trying to give people a leg up against police investigations and court prosecution. We welcome your contacting us at info@beattheprosecution.com and at 703-383-1100.